Right, let's do a clap. 3, 2, 1, clap. 3, okay. 2, 1, clap.
You clapped off a second after zero.
Sorry. Do it again.
Do it again.
3, 2, 1. Welcome, dear listeners. This is episode 112 of the Devon Dice podcast, recorded on the 10th December, 2023. In this podcast, we will be gearing up for Christmas, and we take on another Holt question. I'm your host, Joel Wright, of this podcast, and joining me tonight, and only him, it's Nick Shaw, the podcast resident board game designer and the Link Master.
Good evening, everybody, and hello, Joel.
Yeah. Just me and Nick this our podcast. So hopefully we'll be in for a short, to-the-topic conversation. Without any interruptions.
No ramblings. I don't understand.
So, just to highlight a few events coming up again. 24-hour board gaming mini marathon. So it's a 12-hour board gaming mini marathon. It's still coming up. There's still 15 to 17 tickets left. Not sure the numbers, but they are still tickets left. Remember, that's on the 27th of January next year, 11 to 11. So pop along to the website, check it out, pick up a ticket. It all goes to charity. It's a good thing. Another one to mention, I've booked my room for this, the Board Game Weekender, which was originally called Full Board Gaming. So I'm pretty sure there's still rooms left to purchase. I believe you can only purchase a room because you get your tickets for this convention for this
Friday to Sunday.
Very good prices because you get your accommodation, you get breakfast, you get dinner, and you get your convention access, and you get access to all the facilities in the hotel as well along with this. So it is a really good price if you fancy a weekend away. That is the 2nd to the 4th of February. And then there's also the North Devon Board Gaming Weekend. I don't know why we're pushing this one, because I think they're fully sold out apart from maybe a room or two. So if you just want to come for the weekend and not spend the money on a room, you have to put yourself down on the waiting list. And that's 23rd to the 25th of February. So
yeah, lots coming up.
First there is. Yeah. Going to be a busy couple of first months of the year. So
yeah.
Yes. Right. How are we, Nick?
Rant
how
time. Rant time.
Oh, he wants to get straight into the rant. Right. Okay. So everyone knows that I bought Witcher of the Old World and slightly regretted it. Not because it's a bad game. It just takes too long to play. And even playing solo, I just kind of sat there and thought, I spent a good 3 evenings playing solo. That's because I was mainly learning a lot of the rules, but I didn't think it would take much shorter time than that once I got it all down. And I just thought, I'd rather just play the video game. It's just like, that you get so much from the video game, and I enjoy it, that I'd just rather play that on solo. And then I looked at it, and I saw people playing it, 3 players and 4 players, and it takes a long time, I don't think I've seen anyone complete it. I mean, once you've got the rules all down and things like that, it might play quicker, but I just like, okay, I'm just going to get rid of this. And again, if I'm going to play it, I'll probably find someone else's copy. A couple of guys from the other podcast have got it. So I just thought, if I have a chance, I'll travel up to them and I'll spend the afternoon playing it and enjoy it that way. So I thought, I'll get rid of my copy. I did originally put it on sale right before GridCon. And I put it on quite cheap, actually, because I didn't realise actually the value of it. I didn't really look into it. So what I had was the core box, not the deluxe. So it didn't have miniatures for monsters. It just had miniatures for the witches. I had the Kickstarter exclusive stretch goal box, which came with lots of stuff, and it came with miniatures and things like that in that. And then I also had the mounted Eriod or something like that, which was like a bonus figure. If you backed within the first 48 hours, you got it chucked into your package. Now, the thing was, and one of the guys from the other podcast, they didn't realize that if they went all in later on into the project, they had to add on the mounted Erod or whatever it was onto their purchase. But that didn't get made clear to a lot of people. And so they just thought, because they were all in of everything, the expansions and things like that, it was just going to be automatic in there. So a lot of people were receiving their like all in pledges, and then it's like, well, where's this? Oh no, you didn't purchase it. I didn't realize I needed to.
It's very bad wording calling something all in when it's actually not all in. And I know sometimes they'll add things later after they've had an all in pledge, and they can't change, or Kickstarter won't let you change what the pledge level says after you've started the pledge. Yeah. But if it says all in, you'd think it would just say all included scratchers or something like that, or all promos and all bonuses.
I only got it because I actually backed within the first 48 hours. So it just automatically came to me. And I didn't realize even that was happening, that people were missing out. So when I first put it up, I put it up for like £100, the whole lot.
Yeah.
And then some people came back. He goes, do you realize this is going for a lot more on eBay? And I quickly took it down. But I already had the first person going to me.
Well, that's good for them. That's
yeah.
That's
oh, nice yeah. But... The community... on certain Facebook groups are very, like, they do look out for each other. So you got to hand it to them. They will
don't undersell things.
Yeah. They call people out when they're trying to make scalpins, and they also tell people, now you're selling this too cheap kind of thing. Look it up first. And I was just like, okay. But I did have someone come to me and say, is this the deluxe version? Mm. And I'm like, it doesn't even state deluxe. So no, it says core box. But anyway, I then told him, I said, look, I'm taking it down because I'm revising the price. So then I was just thought, I need to get this up there. And I thought, I'll get it up there before Christmas. And I looked at the prices. So the mounted Eron on eBay was going for about £30 to £50 just for that one figure. And the Kickstarter exclusive stuff was going for like £150 just for that box, just a Kickstarter exclusive. And then you got the core box that was going for £70-ish, something like that.
Yeah.
So in the end, I just thought, I just need to get rid of this, get it out of my sight, because like, I look at it and it just keeps giving me regrets. So I'm just like, I need to get rid of it. So £150. So it's basically, I'm selling the exclusives and you're getting the core box and the mounted Eron in with it. And that's just I think that's a fair price.
Absolutely.
People really want it. People will want it. That's a fair price. I'm not scalping. I'm not all, and I actually make money on my pledge, from my pledge. So I feel better. They feel great because they're getting something they want.
Indeed.
I get the same guy that comes to me the first time and ask, is it the deluxe version? I was like, you're freaking kidding me, aren't you? I'm pretty sure he also asked me when I put this up for sale at GridCon that it was the same. Is this the deluxe version? No, it's not the deluxe version. And he was the first one to jump in there. So he must have notifications of when people put certain things on for sale on Facebook, pings or something like that. So it was instantly there, and I was just like, you're kidding me, right? I don't need to answer this again. You can actually see my conversation from beforehand.
You can quote it back to him.
Yeah.
as before.
Yeah. So, then he says, I might be interested in having it. I said, okay, fine. And then someone else came along, and they said, is it sold yet? And I was like, no, it's not sold yet, but it's pending, so I'll let you know if he doesn't want it. And then the next morning, someone else came along and said, oh, is it sold yet? And I was just like, no. There's a couple of there's one person in front on the wish list.
Yep.
So I got back to the original guy, said, do you want this? I've got people waiting. And he was like, no, you're good, sell it on. So I went to the second person. He said that he was thinking his wife was going to get it for him, or girlfriend. Wife or girlfriend was going to get it for him for Christmas. She's at work or at uni. Can I wait for the answer? I was like, yeah, no worries.
Yeah, yeah.
So finally he gets back to me, says, oh, and then he also asks, is it the deluxe version?
Oh man.
But then he came back and said, no, I don't want, yeah, I don't want it. He does, I don't want it. It's fine. Don't worry about it. Before I even asked it, I answered him. And then I gave it to the third person. I said, are you still interested? He's like, oh, yeah, that's fine. Yeah. He says, I'm just mulling over a couple of things. And then again, same question. Is it deluxe?
Is it deluxe?
And I was like, crying out loud. I really needed to put it in big letters saying this is not the deluxe thing.
Yes. Yeah.
So I said, in the end, I went back to him. I said, look, it's not deluxe. I said, but, and I told him the prices out on the message. Said, £70 for the core box, £150 for the expansion Kickstarter stuff, it's £30 for the mounted Dewon. Yeah? £150, it's all yours. Yeah?
Yep.
That's including postage.
Which is pretty good price.
Yeah. He goes, oh, yeah, but he's like, it's not stock deluxe, is it? I said, go and find the deluxe core box elsewhere. But you're getting all this stuff and you could play it and then you could find the deluxe one and then sell the core stuff. And
if you like it, yeah.
Yeah, and then he came back with, and I can't believe he asked this, because if you really want it, I mean, you should have just snapped it up. He was like, do you fancy splitting the expansions? I said, I'm selling the Kickstarter expansion box for £150. You're going to get the core box and the Mounted Dewon thrown in. Why would I want to spend my time splitting it? Because I already told them I've sorted it into different into different groups. I'm not spending my time splitting it and then holding onto the core box. It's not my worth my time.
No,
I don't
no.
want to do that. Why can't you just say, yes, I'll take it for £150. It's great value. I'm getting everything. And then if I really want the deluxe stuff, I'll find it for a good price. Because I actually did say to I said, if it was deluxe, if I had the deluxe thing, I'd be selling it for £250. Because that was, it was like £300 people were selling for on eBay.
Yeah.
I was just all the time.
The fact three of them all asked the same question.
Yeah, pretty much.
And kept dithering on it. Oh, my
God. And it's this whole deluxe thing. It's like, it's just miniatures. It's not mechanically different. It's just the aesthetic of having the miniatures. And they're just monsters.
Indeed.
And they don't do anything. The monsters sit on the board in the positions and your witcher moves around and then goes to the monster and kills it. It doesn't do anything more than that. So, but it is just the mentality of it. It's like deluxe.
They want it, if it's available, they want. I mean, to be fair, that's what you'd say. That's what you said at Essen when they were offering you the regular or the deluxe. But then you have both of them right in front of you, and you can say, "Well, obviously, I want the deluxe one."
Well, yeah, I had the
option. If you go to someone and say, "Oh, you've got a regular version. By the way, is it deluxe?"
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what the difference was between pricing, but I mean, I had the deluxe was on offer, and I said, "Well, I'm going to take deluxe." I don't know if it makes any difference. I did know it. Oh, it did come with different. There is some differences in cards and things like that. That's I'm talking about Zoo Tycoon and things like that.
Yeah.
So there was a slight difference with that, but with this, it was just miniatures, and that's it. So it's not, and then it's not like they're even painted.
Indeed.
So, finally decided to buy it, and I quickly sent it off once he paid. And then I'm just like,
yeah, before you could complain.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. So, what a journey that game has been on.
It has. And it's been sat on my top on the side here for ages. Like, are you going to sell me or not? Because you're not playing with me. I might as well go somewhere else. Yeah, probably. And I also sold, I was just saying to Nick before, saying I also sold Nucleum. I hadn't even unwrapped it. I got it from Essen. Slight regret. I'm never going to be able to get my copy out and play it. So I thought I might as well sell it to someone that will.
And then if someone's playing it at the club, then you can get them to teach you.
I don't even think they'll play it at the Monday night group.
I think it's too heavy probably for...
I think it's too heavy. It would take too long. Mm-hmm.
Certainly to teach and play. Yeah,
definitely. So, yeah.
Because they've played brass a few times, but brass, I think it's...
I think it's heavier than lighter. Brass.
Oh, it
brass
is.
Brass ain't that heavy, I don't think.
It's more... I think it's more on the barrage level of heaviness. I don't think brass is very heavy. No. Medium weight, I'll put it.
But...
Yeah.
But I hope the guys that have bought the games from me are happy with their purchases, because... Nucleum wasn't hard to sell. That was a doddle.
Oh, indeed. Still a very hot game.
Oh, dear.
Did it have a deluxe version? I can't remember.
I got some promos from Essen.
Just promos, okay.
So, yeah. So that's how I was able to say it. So I got promos, I got shrink wrapped. I sold it for pretty much what I paid for it at Essen. Minus the shipping and that. So... hey ho, again, another game off my shelf that I'm never going to get played.
Cool.
But hey ho. Nick.
One more off the shelf.
Anything exciting happening with you, or are we just going to move to news?
We're going to move. I'm trying to sell stuff, but failing. I'm not selling new stuff, that's the trouble. It's all my old stuff I'm trying to shift, make space.
Oh yeah, I've got a pile of old stuff I need to shift on as well. So
stuff that I've taken to QuickCon twice now and no one's wanted it, so there's a limit to how low I can drop the price before the shipping becomes the same cost as the...
Well, this is it. Is it worth it? It's almost worth then looking at it and say, I might as well take it to UK Games Expo. And just sell it there for like a tenner.
But there we go. That is the way. Right, let's move to news.
Carry on.
So new on Board Game Arena, there have been a few interesting games have appeared in Alpha in the recent weeks. Two of the biggest ones probably that people will know is Terraforming Mars, which I was quite surprised to see. Because of they have an app version as well, which is a paid for app, isn't it, on iOS and Android, which is a very good app actually. It's a very good implementation, but yeah, they got the alpha version up on Board Game Arena now, so we're playing a game of it, and it's pretty good. It's a pretty good implementation on there. Don't know what you think of it, Joel. Sam outright refused to play it with us.
So what are we talking about? We're talking about
Terraforming Mars.
That's fine. I was just warming up my coffee.
That's fair enough. So we're playing on BGA and Sam's refused to play it. But what do you think of it so far?
So what's the card game called?
Ares Expedition. Ares. It's Ares, isn't it? Yes, Ares Expedition.
Yeah, Ares Expedition. I think that's why I like Ares Expedition, because I'm forgetting there's the main board below.
Yeah.
I'm actually just like, oh, I could play this card now. And I'm just like adding stuff to my...
Well, I mean, to be fair, that is a legitimate strategy, is to ignore the board and just go for VP cards and engine build cards.
Yeah.
And not build them. You can quite legitimately have... There are some games I've seen where barely anything on the map's been explored, which is bizarre for a game where you're meant to be terraforming, that can be a legitimate strategy, but it is, yeah.
Yeah, doesn't seem.
But
right
I think it's a very good implementation, because it is an alpha as well, Board Game Arena. But there's nothing I think that we've seen that's broken as of yet. So it's a fairly stable alpha, I would say. So, well worth checking out if you like terraforming Mars.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see what the end game score is like.
Yeah, that's one thing that was it Craig who's playing with us?
Yeah.
That game, he said that that there's no way to see your total VPs from all your cards without actually going and counting them all on the cards themselves. It would be nice to have a little count, but I imagine that's the kind of thing they all add in.
Well, maybe they just want, or maybe it's an option of not showing the total yet.
Well, it could be, but you can still go and do it, add up everyone's scores manually if you want to. Just a ping.
What is it? Forest Shuffle has an option of having totals continuously showing the sum or not.
And I think if you could calculate it by looking, then you should be able to have it displayed, just to make it fairer overall.
But,
I'd like to see if they add in some of the options as well to it with the drafting mode. They've got the corporations. You can pick your corporation. They haven't got Prelude, so they don't start with that boost, which would be really nice if they had Prelude in there. But I imagine they're just trying out base game first.
Well, that's it. Hopefully they do implement stuff.
And
it'd be interesting to see.
Oh, I'm sure they will do, the other one that's interesting one is Undergrove, which is the new one from Elizabeth Hargrove.
Oh,
from Wingspan Fan. Which is a mushroom mycelial network growing game. I watched a playthrough of it to learn the rules, and I thought, is that it? Is that all that's going on?
It is basically so bored. And then I also got stuck towards the end.
Oh, did you?
I couldn't do anything but like the same action over, and it was like the action where
action which is like it's like a rest action where you just get a basic income so you can start doing the other actions again because you need other resources.
That wasn't coming up.
But it's the photosynthesize action, I think. It's a fairly simple game, mechanically, because you've got four different actions you can take, and you're trying to spread your seedlings around. Everyone's playing a Douglas fir, and you're trying to spread your seedlings around the forest floor. And then the tiles of the board are mushrooms, which are you can grow your roots into to gain access to their abilities and also extend your reach from your network for each of the seedlings. And every time you absorb carbon into the seedling, it grows a bit. And if you do it three times, it becomes a tree. And that affects how many points you can score from adjacent mushroom tiles. Yeah, it's all very mechanically fine. But so far it's been, you change a resource for another thing and you place a tile and you change a resource and you get another one and you place a tile and a bit rinse repeat at the moment. However, the implementation seems perfectly sound on Board Game Arena. If you want to try it out, then it is there under alpha. I would be keen to see what the reviews are once it comes out in physical form. So I'm
maybe
not sure.
Yeah, maybe
if that's
going
to add something to it. Yeah, I think you need to understand, because I had to read the rules as well, the rule book, to fully understand it.
I skimmed it, and then I also watched the video. And I thought, oh, okay, I get this, I understand this, but yeah, it was the point where I just wasn't able to do anything. Maybe I probably misunderstood photosynthesize because it didn't explain it.
Yeah, it lets you do certain things, like I think it lets you do absorb where you can't actually absorb anything, which is like a null action. So you can take it, but you just don't do anything. I'm not sure if it's meant to let you do that or not, but it was letting me do that. But yeah, it's that photosynthesize. It's like a rest action, which you just gain some carbon, and that's it. And then you can use that for exchanges and things. But yeah, take a look if people are interested in see what that forthcoming release is like. I'm imagining they used to not just drum up marketing, but also do some kind of balance testing things.
Well, yeah, it does make me wonder.
Although it is already. It's already in production, I think, so it would be too late to adjust balance at this point. But maybe for future. But yeah, certainly good for pre-sales marketing. It's a good plan. The third one that you've added to the list as well is Forever Home. It's another dog walking one. Or is it walking? Yeah. Is it dog grooming?
No,
or...
no. It's so you're basically running a dog shelter.
That's it.
And you're trying to rehome dogs to their new forever homes. But you've got to kind of train them. And it's a little bit weird. It's a bit abstract, I think. I don't think there's much.
It's like, it reminds me of Tash Kalar, if you remember back.
Oh, yes.
2013 or so. Which is, you place things to make little patterns in the square grid. And when you trigger the square, that pattern, it triggers the ability on the card. And in this case, it's just, you get to move some of those, you rehome some of those dogs. And you get set collection type things. But yeah, it is very Tash Kalar with dogs. That's how I would describe it.
And you're not in combat, because that's what Taskalar was, wasn't it? It's kind of combat.
Yeah, you're not fighting another player.
So you kind of,
the interaction is drafting those dogs from the supply. That's it.
It's cute. It's easy in a way once you figure it out.
Yeah.
Because I misunderstood the different dog breeds. Right. So I thought, like, so there's one symbol. So there's only two symbols of how the dogs have to be arranged. Oh, no, actually, it's three. So there's two dog symbols, how they have to be arranged, and there's a cross where you can't have dogs. And that's the pattern you've got to form. So the light symbol would be the same breed dog, and then the dark symbol would be different breed dogs. So I thought those dark symbols had to be different to each other, if you know what I mean.
Right, all different, yeah.
All different. But it had to be, no, it just, you got two breeds to make up.
Yep.
The pattern, and I misunderstood that right at the beginning of the round, and there's like, oh, why did that not work? Oh, it's because, and I quickly read the rules, and I reread the rules, and it was like, oh, but they didn't explain, there is an explanation, but it doesn't actually explain like that. That would have really helped. So
that would be a weird thing. I watched Rado's run through of it from like a year ago.
Right.
Able to get understand the rules,
so yeah,
which was, yeah, it was good, but yeah, it was a cute little game,
yeah,
quite nice.
We have
a nice little bit of thickness.
Played again, but
we haven't played another one, but yeah, there's so many to do. So moving on to the other quick news, so the publishers of Heat announced the information about the Torrential Rain expansion, which is the new expansion they're bringing out for Heat in next year, which includes two new circuits, which is going to be Japanese and Mexican Grand Prix, have multiple corners and chicanes. I thought we already had multiple corners over. adds a seventh player color, which means there's still an eighth slot free in the box
for
potential other things.
They're dragging this expansion release out, aren't they?
They are, aren't they? That's about as much information as we got. So, lots of rain, two new maps, and a seventh colour. So, we'll see if it is worth picking up.
Just, oh, definitely.
I imagine the maps would, the maps were probably worth it on their own.
Yeah.
I mean, seventh colour means that you could then play seven players.
Hmm.
I wonder how that is. I wonder if it's seven players. But yeah, that sounded interesting. And then the last one I put on the list for quick news was CG a while back published Flutter Schrattel's game Letter Jam. I'm going to double check that is Flutter Schrattel. No, it's not Flutter Schrattel. It is Andre Scoopy designed that one. But this is a CG release, which is a party letter word building deduction game, quite a fun little game from 2019. And CG have put up an online implementation of this in the similar vein as they did with Codenames, where you have a website you go to and everyone can log in with a code, and then they're all sharing the same instance of the table. Then they can do it remotely if they want to, and then they can play the game. And I thought that was quite fun, because Letter Jam, I thought, was a really, really clever letter word deduction game. Yeah, that's how I'd describe it. I've enjoyed playing that a few times. So yeah, check that out. I'll put a link in the show notes for that. I haven't tried the code names online, but I've seen some people play it, and they say it works very well. So I think this would be a good one as well.
All right. Yeah, as a really light month of news because it's coming up to Christmas. So people are starting to chill out and no rush. But there is still games.
Still crowdfunding.
Still crowdfunding going on. So, Nick, if you want to take it away with your first one.
So first on the list, this one will have ended by the time probably we release this episode, but this is Moon Rollers, which is a dice-themed version of Ivy Games' hit game Moonrakers. Moonrakers came out a few years ago now, which is... and you've played this, I think. You played Moonrakers with Joel.
Yeah.
At the Monday Night Club. It's a game of semi-cooperative but competitive. You're building ships and you're flying them around trying to complete contracts, and you have to have other people help you at times in order to complete them, but you can split the rewards, etc. And it's the first to 10 points wins. And so this is this Kickstarter is for a dice version of that. It looks fairly basic to me. It's got thematically looks lovely in the really nice fun artwork, but it's basically a roll the dice, I think, kind of Yahtzee style. So you're rolling it and pushing your luck and trying to complete certain parts of certain contracts to get points, and that's about it. But if you like Moonrakers and you like dice games, then you certainly might want to have a look at that. It also comes with a mini expansion for Moonrakers called Dark Matter. I'm not sure what is in that. It comes in like a little blister pack. But that looks quite nice as well. With holographic cards again. They added in black foil cards as well. Fun stuff. Things they can add in to make it look pretty to sell more. But yeah, it's got the Ivy Games classic high quality production on all of those things. You just get it with the basic pledge. So yeah, take a look if you like that style of game.
Backtracking to Mark Simon's Kickstarter, Desist, the DC version of Zombicide. So yeah, I just want to add in there, actually, after we berated it quite badly, well, I did anyway, it actually did reach £2.5 million in funding.
Okay, so that's... Was that about half of what?
No, it's less. So Marvel got to 9 million.
Right. A lot less then.
So it's a lot less. But it just seemed like they were like every... I was like, because I was following along for some reason, because I was like on a Facebook page, it's just seemed like they're constantly releasing new stretch goals. And it's just like, oh, we've got all these models done. We need to just get them out there kind of thing. And so, yeah. And cool. And some people were pointing out the fact that, like, Marvel Zombies didn't have its first stretch goal until 2 million mark. And Desist hadn't even reached 2 million, and they had like 30 odd stretch goals already, kind of thing. This is like,
wow.
There's a huge difference of how it all it shaped up.
For the same company as well, because they're both Simon?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, that's really bizarre.
Yeah.
Really odd.
And apparently, it was DC Comics that wouldn't allow them to do the alternate version of.
Right.
Like the zombies being the heroes. They said,
right.
You just got to keep it heroes saving the day. So, even though they're
happy with having. So they could have the characters be zombies, but the players couldn't play them as zombies.
No.
Weird.
So, yeah.
Very odd. But, yeah. Well, there we go. So, I'll go on to my two other Kickstarters I found. So first one is or I should say the second one on my list after Moon Rollers is Drawn Together Game, which is a game from Bez, Bez. If you know Bez, she's very well recognizable in her usually flowing red dress that she has at conventions. And this is a competitive drawing coloring game, which she uses these wacky kind of designs with these kind of things where you have to do drawing or you have to describe things. So this is one where you are colouring in certain bits of a shape and you're colouring other people's to try and kind of misguide them. Kind of a bit wacky. Do go and have a look because it's I think it's print and play only. Let me just double check that. Yeah.
I think it
is. So it's £2 is the pledge level. And you get to just get these kind of just line drawings that you then get to colour in and you just print them off.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got some rules in there. So always good to see some of her designs come up. That's live for quite a long time. It's got another 46 days left, so plenty of time to go back that. And then the last one on my live now list is Star Realms doing yet another Kickstarter, and this is for a deluxe colonial collection. And it describes itself as a beautiful, portable, all-foil Star Realms collection. I don't quite know what the all-foil really is. It's just, yes, 234 foil cards it comes with. So all the cards are foil. It comes with a tray, it comes with dividers, not really nice score dials, etc. A huge amount of all the expansion stuff wrapped in there. So if you like Star Realms then and you haven't got all the stuff ready, I'm going to check that out. There's a lot there.
Mm.
You can buy just the foil cards, dividers, for was it $59? Or you can get the entire thing, $89, which gets you the box with everything in. And you can get that with sleeves as well for extra stuff. And then there's an all-in with all the expansions and all the extra bits and everything for $189. So all the love, if you have Star Realms love, there's plenty there for you to take a look at.
Yeah. I remember when that first came out and it was like awesome.
And it was a nice little tiny deck box as well.
It was just a nice little card game. Yeah. It was simple. It was it was a deck builder. It was quirky. You could have some massive combos going on. And it was just fun, just a quick play, simple. It's one of these now just grown out of, feels like out of control, and it's like, where would you start kind of thing. So
I mean, I still own Star Realms, the original one, and that's, I got that in the Gambit expansion, I think the first expansion, which was just as like a mini expansion, and that's all I ever got, and that's why
I think really. I own it too.
Quite happy with it.
I think
it's such a small box, you've probably lost somewhere in your,
I think I forgot,
box of tiny card games.
I think it's in my drawer. And again, I think I said I got the Gambit expansion. There was booster pack expansions as well that added like six cards.
Or something. You could add in bits like that. Yeah.
So, but yeah.
Yeah, still going. So obviously still a lot of love for it. That's got 4 days to go at date of recording. So jump in quick.
Should be fine. On
the back of that. But I imagine you can get a lot of that for later on.
So,
and then two...
Oh, sorry, I thought you finished. Well, no, I was just going to say, GameFound, right?
Yep.
That was my dog shaking and whacking its tail against a drawer. GameFound has got Nemesis Retaliation on there at the minute. There's 3 days ago I was recording. It's done amazingly well for funding.
8.2 million at the moment.
It's massive. You can get an all-in pledge for $299. I believe that's all-in by looking at the boxes. Okay, I'm going to select this ward and see what happens.
The numbers are still ticking up live looking at it as well.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Pardon you.
There's a lot of love for Nemesis.
So yeah, I think this is all in pledge. That's amazing, like, value.
Is that everything that's come out for Nemesis?
I think so.
All in?
I don't know. I'm trying to work it out. Like, so Core Box, Stretch Goals.
Core Box, 65.
Neo Fresh Cold.
Special
109. Incineback.
Retaliation Collector's Pledge.
So the standard edition Core Gap box is $65. Special edition, $109. Stretch goals.
Version with miniatures and stretch goals. And train packs.
This is how much preparation. Yeah,
there's a before. Number of them. Well, usually you want to see what most people have backed. And that's the special edition, almost 9,000. And the Retaliation Collector's Pledge, which is almost 9,000 people. And it tails off after that. There are, amazingly, 400 people who've backed at the $900 pledge level for the Master Collection Pledge, which is literally everything.
Ah, that'd be the one. Whole... So this $200 must just be for, like, everything from this, like, set on. And this actually, Retaliation is not just an expansion. It's like a standalone. So you can play this without...
So yeah, that... It sounds like that is the all-in. The Veteran Pledge says everything we offer during this crowdfunder. So that's everything that's available. And then you can just get the bits separately and then build them up, and then you can get the entire back history of Nemesis.
So yeah, that's doing
If you like your Nemesis.
And our group does.
They do. They play it quite often, yeah.
So yeah, check out if you want to play Nemesis. I mean, I reckon it'd still be on offer to purchase even when this ends, because GameFound is owned by Welcome Reigns, isn't it?
I don't know.
I'm sure they started this like GameFound up as
they could have. Like, I wonder if they were spun off
a pledge manager system, and then they just said, "Oh, let's just do our own Kickstarter."
Lock it up.
Yeah, I'm sure it'd be there. I'm trying to go back and just see if there's anything.
Welcome Reigns are the creator of GameFound.
Yeah, that's what I thought. And they got quite a few games on there. The Seven Seas, that's an old classic. Oh, that's coming soon. I'm sure that's an old classic. Like, Tom Vassell bangs on about this as, like, one of his favourite, like, all-time games.
All right, yeah.
Coming in March. Seven Seas, yeah. I know, so there's not much there because it's up and coming. I might be thinking of a different one, but there was one. There is like one Sam Vassell goes on about Seven Seas all the time.
Right.
I think it's quite long as well. But this is 45 minutes. It can't be the same one.
No.
Don't be stupid.
Well, talking of coming soon.
Yeah, go on.
Nice segue. I saw this one pop up on the site that used to be called Twitter, on X. This is Cascadia. Is coming out with two Roll and Flip and Write spin-off games. So these are from AEG and Flat Out Games. These are standalone Flip and Roll and Write in the Cascadia universe, basically. And they've got the same style of artwork and stuff. So beautiful artwork, but they are effectively Roll and Write's or Flip and Rights, with, as you imagined, very pretty artwork, and it looks like fairly standard Roll and Write and Flip and Write stuff. So if you like Cascadia and you like Roll and Rights, take a look. They look fairly simple, but fairly pretty and fun. They are going to go to crowdfunding in early 2024, so early next year, for release in some point in autumn. So they look quite nice. And then the other one I just wanted to raise on people's scopes is Horror on the Orient Express.
Oh, yeah.
Which I can't remember if we've mentioned before on the podcast or not.
No, I don't think we
this
have.
This is from Chaosium. And this is a Cthulhu-themed... they call it a mystery TTRPG. It's not really a role-playing game at all. It's like a Euro game which has narrative elements and is set in the Cthulhu mythos, basically. Heavy Cardboard did a playthrough of this, if you wanted to go and see what it plays like, as a kind of a preview. It's coming in a couple of months' time, I think it is, 2 or 3 months. But it looked very interesting. Some really interesting mechanics going on. So your characters are all on the Orient Express train. Which is moving, and that's the timer of the game, is the train is moving through this land. And you have all your characters, and you have NPCs, which are actors as dice on the things, but the dice are just to set what face they are, and the face is like happy or sad or scared or something like that. And then you've got the Cthulhu monsters are appearing outside the train. You've got vampires attaching themselves to the train and trying to see in, and you can have the windows open or closed with blinds so that either the monsters can see in or the vampires can't see in. And you're trying to move around and cheer people up with, and there's a, like a little bit of engine building going on your player mats. So yeah, a lot going on. I would say it's kind of a medium heavy weight. I would call it a Euro game. It had that feel of Euro game, but with the narrative mechanics. So if you like Cthulhu stuff, if you like that kind of style of narrative with blended with Euro style mechanics, then take a look. It looks really interesting. So we put a link in the Kickstarter on the show notes, which will be to the Kickstarter holding page, so you can have a look at that. And Joel has disappeared.
Sorry, muted. Yeah, definitely interested when this comes out. I was talking away. Like, was he not?
Not reacting.
Yeah. Right. Because Claire is... she's had an operation. She's had a new hip. She's that old that she needed a new hip. No, she's not that old, actually. She's younger than me.
She's not that old.
So
harsh.
Yeah, it's just unfortunate that she needed a new hip. So she's pretty much laid up. So I've not actually had much chance in gaming. I didn't actually go along and... So the full story is, I went along to Monday Night Gaming Group and I took along EOS, Islands of Angels. I was really enjoying it. And I played it with like the usual characters there, and basically, I can't remember his name is now. Scott, I think his name is. He wiped the board with us. He grabbed all the angels, pretty much. It felt like it, and didn't leave anything for us behind.
Playing
with, I call him. I call him Rob Slow, but it's Rob. I can't think of his name. Red Leader 1.
No, Rob Cowan.
That's it.
Santa Rob.
Santa Rob.
We call him Santa Rob.
He always does this. Whenever he plays a new game, he always goes home and reads the rule book again. So then he messaged me later on. He goes, yeah, a few things we got wrong. I was like, okay. So for some reason, on some of the player boards, there's a... In the second action slots, there's this one with a pawn on it, which is your workers that are on your ship. And I don't know why, I never checked out the ruling for this. I think someone just said, oh, I get to place this out and take another action. And that's what I went with. Which is actually quite strong, because then people are getting two main actions in a row. And we did that at GridCon. Didn't we? Because some people were utilising that. And it gets a bit annoying.
I don't remember.
Yeah, I think...
If we were, then we were all doing it.
Well, no, because not every board's got this this second action slot with the pawn on
it. Oh, okay.
Right. I think that's like... The first one is like the one that's always different. And I think three or four of the boards have this. And the others don't. They have something different. So... We've always played it like that. And it actually, if you read the rules, and I don't know why I never did this, it just says you can take a worker from your ship and put it next to the second action row. And if you understand the game, doing that, taking a worker away from the ship, actually frees up a space. So when you recharge... And you put all your workers back on your ship, you get all the all the bonuses showing that have been uncovered.
The uncovered plot, yep.
So you basically, you're not getting a second go, you're just taking a worker from the ship. So you're freeing up spots, so you get more benefits when you take your recharge action. Oh boy, does that change things.
Yeah.
to the point that I really said, I need to get this played again and just play it. So
yeah.
Nigel and Karen came over, and Claire was actually still in the hospital. And so I actually thought, I need to get this played again. I don't think this is going to be their type of game, but I need to kind of play it and get it out of my system.
You really need to.
So yes. I just set it up before they arrived and then explain it to it. And it's a heavy explain, but it's actually quite an easy game to play. And explained it to him. I completely lost Nigel. He was gone. Karen got it. Karen actually knew what to do. Oh, okay, cool. I get this. And she actually went heavy on angels. But the scoring at the end of it, me and Karen, I won by 1 point in it.
Oh, see, that was very... That's similar to our GridCon game, where we were all within like a split of four.
And it felt like it was, okay, I realised where the mistake was and how unbalanced I made it by not following this rule. I think there was something else that we did. Oh, yeah. It's kind of not playing it right. So when you move into one of the areas that has the challenge requirements on it, you have to, you move in there, you've got to pay for it when you move into it.
So it's straight away.
And we weren't doing that. We were like moving into it. And then we were like, okay, so now I'm going to do this challenge. I pay for all this. And then get the benefits.
Really. Yeah.
And it wasn't, it's slightly wrong. It was just out of timing. But it just made sense. But it was one of those, it wasn't quite written well for me. Who's like... Yep. Weird at reading stuff as it is, so but yeah, now I read it back and Rob's kind of sounding me out. I was like, that makes sense. Why did that not make sense to me in the first place? But anyway, so yeah, I replayed the game.
So you played it correctly now. Yeah,
I played it. I think I've played it fully correctly now, and I can see where the balances are, things and like that. And what's really annoying was one of the monsters that come out. The monsters that come out have curses, and they basically stop people doing stuff, or they give you more penalties, and it really can change the randomness of the game. First monster we get up, I don't think I've had them before, and he doesn't allow you to play any of those journey cards.
Oh, right, yeah.
So those cards that like you play down, you get points for, but like give you extra stuff. We couldn't play any of that until we got rid of the monster.
Oh,
and I was just like, this is really annoying because like these cards are like the main aspect of the game. And like we were just like collecting cards and like, well, we can't play any of these. And we were like, we just need to defeat this monster. And it took ages. And as soon as we defeated it, we almost finished with the game. So it's just like, this is a huge part of it. And we've just been stuppered right from the beginning. So I was like saying to him, I said, it's a shame because you've not seen like what these can actually do as extra.
Yep, indeed.
But anyway.
Yeah, they were powerful. Those monster effects were all felt fairly punishing. Most of them were fairly punishing.
Yeah. And that's what it's meant to be.
But interestingly so.
Yeah.
Because it affects everybody effectively.
And just like the angels are just overpowered. So
indeed. As they should be.
Anyway, yeah, I still love it. It's a great game. Cool. Not a regret or back in. And I hope
they
got some new ideas for expansions in the future, because it will be a shame if they didn't. Anyway.
We can do more.
Come on then, Nick, let's get through your list.
Yeah, I've got my big list. Now, this is mainly because I played quite a bit with my son, so I've got a few games in. So what did I play with my son? I played Stone Age, one of my favourite classic old games. So this is from way back when. And my son, who is 11, he loves this game. He really likes it. He just keeps going and getting wood the whole time because he just likes getting the same stuff over and over. He hasn't quite... cottoned on to the idea that you have to really, really focus on the civilization cards to get a really good score. He's figured everything else out. He loves going to get building up resources to get the buildings. He manages his feeding the workers. You know, he's get more workers and put the food truck up. I still have to, though, explain how the civilization cards work with the multipliers for the points. But yeah, we had a good game. I tried to encourage him to stop me from getting too many cards, which he did sometimes, but he was focusing more on the buildings. He just let me kind of run away with those. So I managed to get, I think, my highest score ever in Stone Age. I'm trying to remember if I logged the score anywhere, or did I just ignore it because it was so high? I think I lapped him twice on the score track in the final scoring. It was something crazy, like I was on 384 points or something, and he was still on 147. But yeah, it was a very satisfying game, always fun. He didn't mind that I was so far ahead because he enjoys playing it so much. So we're always a good one. Stone Age, yeah, 2008 that came out. Goodness me. Yeah, still a good, great worker placement game. The next one I played with him was Ticket to Ride New York. And this is one of the mini Ticket to Ride versions with a tiny board, and it takes about 15 minutes to play. And the twist on the Ticket to Ride New York version is that you have these kind of sightseeing places around New York where if you manage to connect up any of those with your trains or your cabs, as they are, you get an extra point at the end of the game. So fairly simple extra, but it can add up to quite a good number of points there. I think I beat him by 1 point in that game. It was very, very close. He managed to get all but one of his... Oh, no, he got all of his his routes completed. I got all but one of my routes completed. If I had completed that last one, I would have got another 8 points, beaten even more. But yeah, it was a very close game. So always like that. It's such a nice, quick, and snappy version of Ticket to Ride, that one. And then the final one I played with him was another one that he really enjoys, King Domino, which is it was a Spiel des Jahres winner, I believe, back in 2017 or so. So this is a simple-ish domino-shaped tile-laying game where you're building up your regions to score multipliers for all the crowns on each type of region that are joined together, constrained within a grid. And so we're playing just two players, so we played the variant where you do a 7x7 instead of a 5x5. And I also added in a mini expansion that I printed off during COVID. This was one that the publisher released during COVID as kind of a free thing. So it's just a print and play expansion. And it adds in these resource-like discs, which you put on any tile that has no crowns on, matching the terrain type. And then you can spend unique combinations of those to buy extra tiles, which give you extra multipliers, and certain character people as well, who give you kind of positional points. So you care about where you're putting things, and that actually added a real nice little extra bit of strategy to the game, because King Domino I find really too light for my liking usually, but this little mini expansion added it to just that extra bit of strategy where I actually really enjoyed playing it again. My son again didn't quite get the strategy of those new things. He was just having fun building his area, and he did very well considering he was just doing that, but I was really focusing on this expansion bit, and I think I got the highest score I've gotten this as well, which was well into the hundreds, if not the 200s. Really went right out. But yeah, that's well worth, if people like King Domino and they haven't seen this expansion, it's called The Court. It's on Board Game Geek. It's a free print-to-play download. Just print out and cut out. Yeah, good fun. And then at the game night, we played two games, the first of which is Spynet from Richard Garfield, which was reprinted just this Essen as Shadow Blades. This is on my Essen list.
I was going to say, yeah.
Of games of interest. Yep. Yeah. So my friend Chris from the group brought his copy of Spynet along. We've played it a number of times before. So we played this with Rob. And it was good fun. It is better as a four-player game, I think, because you play as teams in a four-player, and two or three players, just 1v1, all v all. But it worked very well. It's a nice kind of half-hour play of card play and espionage. That was fun. And then my last one is a slightly bigger one. This is Sierra West, which was a 2019 Essen release from Board and Dice. And this is designed by Johnny Pack, who you may know from many other games of recent times. And this was fun. We did play a four-player game with this one. Again, just with the base module, the Apple Hill module. The game comes with four different modules you can add, swap out. And the Apple Hill is the most basic one. Generally, I will always play Apple Hill if there's new people playing, because there's enough rules as it is. Not that it's a complex game. I'd say it's midway. It's not too heavy. But the other modules add in a little bit too much complication to it. But the Apple Hill worked fine. We taught it well. Rob blew us out of the water with that. He doubled, I think, everyone else's score. He just managed to get a really good combo going. Of course he did, yeah. He said, at the beginning, he said, oh, don't trust Nick. He's a shark. I said, no, you need to watch Rob, this other guy. So watch Rob. He'll say he's not going to win, but he'll win by loads, and he did. But yeah, Sierra West is a really nice production and a really nice game, which is set in the Sierra West Mountains in America. Sorry, the Sierra Nevada mountain range in America, in California. And it's built as a kind of a mountain of cards in a triangular shape. And you're going in and excavating the cards at the top, and they drop and flip over the cards underneath. Kind of like Seven Wonders Duel has that kind of pyramid of cards you reveal when you etch out ones, you take them out. And it's kind of a semi-deck builder. So whenever you excavate these cards, they go into your deck, and they give you then different actions and different resources. But the little twist of the game is that you have three cards hand every round, and you are tucking those cards in underneath your player board so that only certain symbols are visible. And then you have to walk your little your two workers along the routes, and they trigger whatever they land on, depending on where you've positioned your cards. And so you're balancing what resources you need, what excavate actions you need. You need to trap certain prey types. You have to build huts to give you little abilities, or you lose points if you don't do that. And you're basically trying to get the most points by excavating as many cards as you can and then building up your little mini engine. So yeah, it's a fun one. I enjoy it. I think they had fun. So it was really nice to get that out again, because I haven't gotten to play that very much since I picked it up in Essen in 2019. So that was good.
Yeah, Sierra West is weird. I've got that. Never played it.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Because I'll teach you something. I got it just after it was I think it was being released at... No.
It came out... Yeah, I think it was the Expo it came out.
I think I played it at Expo. It came out at the Essen afterwards, because I remember pre-ordering it.
Okay.
And then coming through. And then since then, I don't think it's had the best of, I wouldn't say rep, but
it went under the radar. And the four the way the rule book's written, because it has four different modules you can use, and they're all you can't add them together, they're swap out. It intersperses them in different color blocks all throughout the rules most of the way,
right?
And then it has certain sections explaining what the different bits are, but it makes the rule book really quite difficult to go through and understand. So if you don't have someone teach it to you, it can be really quite confusing about what's going on.
Yeah.
Other than that, I don't know why it didn't get as much praise or as much love, because I thought it was a perfectly fun game.
It is one of those. I can't sell it. I mean, I think that was the last price I put it on. £10.
It's still not going for £10. I mean, it's a nice production as well. It's a nice pizza.
It's amazing. It is one of those. It's some reason it's just not on people's radars.
Yeah.
And I think when they look it up, they just see complex, bad rulebook.
And I think that's if you play just that base module, the Apple Hill module, it's not that interesting a game to replay. You don't get a much difference between the players. Once you start swapping out with the different modules, it adds in a bit more complexity and a bit more complexity and a bit more complexity. And it actually adds in a lot more strategy to the game. And I think people play the first module and go, oh, I've played that now. I don't need to play it again. But if you play the other modules, it actually adds in enough difference that it keeps it fresh if I swap them out. So that's the one thing as I said, I tend to always teach the Apple Hill module, because I'm always playing with different people.
Yeah.
And I think that is the problem probably with why it didn't get any more buzz is because people didn't ever progress onto the other modules after trying that first one. But yeah, if you want to play it at some point, happy to play it.
Yeah, probably. I should get it played at least once.
Get it played at least.
Fully. Because yeah. I did play a short game at UK Games Expo, and I thought, oh, this is quite nice. It's quite good.
Right. Yeah.
And then they were saying, oh, there's like three other modules you can play into it, and blah, blah, blah. I was like, oh, that's quite cool. Mm. So,
it's a really clever design, the way they've designed to swap the modules out.
Mm.
It's very cleverly done. It'd be nice to see that kind of thing in other games as well.
Awesome. Right. Yep. On to the Holt Inquisitor question. It's a weird question. It's not weird.
I like it, Lewis. Yeah. It's a good one. Well done, Lewis Holt.
He asks, one host names a game. The others have to reskin the theme of the game, detailing how the new theme would work. And he put in brackets here, best edit out the thinking process. And I was like, what do you think I am? Some idiot?
How much thought do you think that we put into this?
No. No. So basically, he thought we were going to ask all these questions in one go, but like, like they've known what question we're going to put in here. So no thinking process going on here, apart from me, because I can't think of anything anyway. But I'm going to leave it for Nick to come up with his ideas. Because I said, okay, what game are we going to re-theme? And Sam put in a Clank.
Of course.
Why did I not see that coming?
Yeah. Naturally. Love it.
Over to you, Nick, because you've got your ideas, and I'm going to then steal ideas out of what you come up with.
Spin off the ideas. So, admittedly, I thought of these mostly today, so they're not fully formed, but they're more formed than they would be if they were off the cuff. So my first one is I thought, well, I'm just going to bung a Star Trek IP and see if I can fit on that, because I know Star Trek probably the best out of all IPs. I'd be able to fit it nicely. And I thought I would have a game called Clank Cubed, which is set on a Borg cube. And you would have the players would be cooperatively on some kind of mission where they have to achieve a certain mission by infiltrating the cube and going deeper and deeper, trying to get all the intel and then get out before the Borg adapts to all the phases. But then I thought because obviously making it cooperative is quite significantly changing the mechanics of the original, which is competitive. But if we put in like a double agent, so there's like a Section 31 agent in there whose only objective is to capture a Borg and get it off the ship and then just leave everyone else and just get out without the code. And so the Clank that you're building up would be you're defending against individual Borgs who are miscellaneously attacking you, and they are starting to adapt. And the more Clank you get, the more adapting they're getting. So at some point, your phases aren't going to work against them anymore. So if you fail to get out, then you become a Borg drone. If your Clank hits you, you might become a Borg drone. And then I thought maybe, you could also have, if you're turned into a Borg drone, kind of like some of the games like The Thing, where you are turned, you then start fighting against the other players and stopping them from getting out as well. And then if you can stop other people getting out, you then get the possibility of scoring points, even though you didn't get out yourself. So I thought there's probably a lot of things you could do with that.
Do you know what would work best with that as well?
Yeah, go ahead.
Lower Decks. Because then you've got all the humour and the wit and the cartoony.
That would be perfect, wouldn't it?
It would.
Because Clank has that kind of humour.
Yes.
That would be so good. So a Lower Decks Borg-themed Clank. I think it would just be amazing. So the next one I thought of, this is just a short one because I thought I was looking up underused themes to see what I could apply to an idea. And this was free diving in the ocean, where you are competitively as time diving further and further down to get better and better treasures. But the longer you stay underwater, obviously the less oxygen you're going to have, and you need to get back to the surface before you run out of oxygen. That's very much like deep sea adventure. Effectively, that's what that does. But here you'd have the clank that you're building up would be the stress that you build from doing various things, being too deep. I just kind of like that idea. I think that's a nice underused theme.
Yeah.
That actually fits the mechanics very nicely. But I fear it is too much like Deep Sea Adventure to be viable. And then, so the third one I thought of, and this is, again, this is on a list of underrated themes or underused themes, and someone had suggested illegal drug activity in the United States. And that actually got me thinking of, I don't know if you, Joel, have seen the Disney Plus series Dope Sick.
No.
Which is about the Big Pharma. What was it? It was one of the drugs they came up with, and it's a real life story. In the kind of the mid thousands, which was effectively it was an opioid that they were marketing as being a non-addictive opioid, where actually it was addictive. They were, the claims they were making were effectively completely wrong, and they were getting a load of people to a load of marketing experts to say that it was fine. But so my idea, and it's, you know, if you haven't seen it on Disney Plus, very well worth it. I loved it. It was great. Michael Keaton playing one of the characters did a brilliant job. But my idea of theming this is that you are playing as the heads of the kind of this big pharma company. You're trying to push this new drug to the market across to all the doctors across America. And you know that the drug is highly addictive. And so this is leading to situations, which happens in the series, where you get people overdosing, you get people completely addicted, so addicted that they start civil unrest where they're breaking into pharmacies and doctor's offices to steal the drug. And so you are trying to manage your propaganda, in inverted commas, your marketing. You're trying to manage that sufficiently to keep that from happening too much, because otherwise the FDA and the government will catch up with you and put you on trial, and that effectively that means you're caught. And you, the idea would be you're trying to get out of the game with as much cash as you can before you're caught. So I thought that'd be an interesting twist on what you're doing in the first and the original Clank, which is you're trying to steal treasures from the dragon, that wake him up. And this is you're trying to make as much money as possible by ripping off the American public in a very thematically real or a real life situation, which had a.
I don't know if that will come.
I don't know if you would market it well. but I think it would fit the mechanics very well, that you're, because it is pushy, like you're trying to push as much as you can without getting into trouble with the government. I think Star Trek 1 most of those three.
Yeah, I think that's number one. I think your third one, the Dope Sick one, would not go well with audiences.
I'm not thinking of how marketable the game would be. I'm thinking what theme would fit the mechanics.
Yeah. Okay.
In an interesting and different way.
I mean, at the end, I think that could just be its own game in itself.
Oh, indeed.
Really.
Yeah.
That reminds me.
That is it. Yes, because it reminded me a bit of the Amabel Holland's design. Doubt is our product, which is the one about the cigarette industry, tobacco industry. But in that one, you have one player playing the big bad companies and one player playing the other side. So you could do something like that, where you have it's team-based, where you have one team who are the big pharma and one team who are the FDA or the government trying to catch them in the act kind of thing.
Yeah, really, actually, while you've been talking about the other ones, I've just been sitting there thinking, actually, Lower Decks Clank could really work. And I'm actually trying to build it in my head. I'm like, right, do this, can do that. This can do this. I was like, okay. Don't even need to be Clank. This is its own little game. Still the same thing. Collecting cubes. Cooperative. Secret traitor, maybe. Could be in there if you wanted it to be.
Yeah.
Right. Nick, to the drawing board.
To the design board. Love it.
Yeah.
I don't think there are any Lower Decks themed board games at the moment.
No, we're on to something.
Certainly none come up in board game.
Right, this is going to be all redacted from the podcast because we don't
want
any.
Who do you know who's got links with?
Yeah.
Whoever owns a Star Trek puppy.
Any of our free listeners like trying to steal our ideas.
So, Joel, did you have you come up with any other ideas?
No, I mean, not really. Probably just like you could just do the modern day version and actually link it with video game of like I've forgotten her name now. Lara Croft.
Oh yeah, yeah, Tomb Raider.
Thing like that. That could, if you got the IP for that, that might sell a ton of games because things like that. Or the other one, Nathan Drake? Uncharted.
Okay. Yeah.
So both of those, I mean, even like the modern Lara Croft, they're coming against enemies and finding treasures and things like that, exploring caves.
Yeah, yeah.
And things like that. So you've got those two IPs that you could, if you it could be brought, be added in, and sell into a different audience, sell into the video game industry kind of thing. So that could work.
Yep.
I've got ideas. I mean, I've always got ideas for games. One that really keeps triggering out, like, was always having like a bag builder, kind of war game. Like RTS game, where you're using the bag for ammo and movement and also construction. And so when you put it out, you can put it on and you're constructing the things and you run it out. And then if you've got ammo, you can shoot the enemy and things like that.
Yeah.
Again, it's all in my head and probably put it on paper, it'll never work. What was the other one I just suddenly just thought of? Oh, I've always had, now Catacombs stole the idea, but I always wanted to do like a two-player Express Clank.
That would be quite cool, wouldn't it? Yeah.
Where it was basically the two of you opposites each other. There'd be the main artifact in the middle and the Express thing, you'll be actually putting cubes in the bag and pulling them out. And there'd be yellow cubes for movement, blue cubes for buy-in, red cubes for swords, and then black cubes for clank.
As like a shared bag?
No, as your bag. So
just
you'll
individual
be,
bags, okay.
You could buy that and put it in. And yeah, so that kind of thing, you'll draw out five cubes and you have to work with that. And then you could use it to purchase companions that sit in front of you and they can take damage or they can give you extra actions or things like that. So you build up like a tableau of companions that always
really
sit in front of you.
Yeah.
Or artifact or other things like treasures that you might pick up might let you do other things, give you plus movement or things like that. But it's that fact of you trying to turn over a tile to get closer to the artifact. But they might go off in a different direction. And things like that. So, I mean, it might still work. I've always had that one in my head.
Give it a go, Joel, yeah.
I need more time in a day. I need to quit work.
Yeah.
And get all these designs done. I don't think they will let me do that. But. So that's You highlight your own things. I really like Lower Decks Clank. We'll get onto that. We're going to sell it to him.
Yep. So. Painting it already.
Yeah. It's ours, guys. Leave it alone.
Nice.
Okay. That is mainly it for the podcast, I think. Just to let you know, the next shows will be, of course, the Christmas show. There's nothing planned at the minute. It might be a last minute thing.
We never planned the Christmas show. That's.
Hopefully there'll be a Christmas show that will come out on Christmas Eve. And if you're traveling anywhere to go and see family or friends or going somewhere for Christmas, then you'll hopefully have a podcast to listen to. I don't know how good it would be, but there'll be a podcast there somewhere. And if I get it right. If you... So I got to put this at the beginning, maybe. if you listened to the last podcast and wondered or caught it like when it first released and wondered why it was only Nick talking and like gaps in between, it's because I uploaded the wrong one. So when I finished editing and I saved it pretty much the same name as Nick's file he sends me. So I just put Nick's audio up. So that's why it's so weird.
So it's my fault for naming my file too accurately. I'll make it clear that it's my track next time.
So thanks for the people that brought it to our attention and said, what's going on with the podcast? I quickly got onto it, redone it, and got it quickly up. And yeah, hopefully not many of you noticed. But anyway, hopefully this Christmas show and this one goes all right now. And then after that, of course, we're going to have the New Year's Eve or New Year's first podcast, which will be the best board games we had played in 2023 that is new to us. So we'll go through all our board games that we played that are new to us. Even if it's 10 years old, but we played it for the first time, it's going to be in the list of our best games. And hopefully, actually, Claire might be on that one. So
yeah, it'd be nice to have her back.
She's played quite a few this year, so...
Yeah.
And she should be really onto the road of recovery to be able to be up for it. So
cool.
That's it. That is our podcast. I'd like to thank everyone for listening. If you have any complaints or suggestions about our podcast, then please send it to any of our social media sites. Go to Discord channel. We are having great conversations over there. And also, we're Board Game Arena. We're having a good few games with our listeners, so pop along.
Yeah.
Come along. I mean, you can find our community on Board Game Arena, which is the Dev and Dice podcast. So, come along and join and offer us a game or look out for games that we're going to do.
Indeed.
As well as anything we talked about in this show, you can find all the links, all done by Nick, in the show notes and any other content we put up. So, yeah, if you're interested in anything we talked about, check out the links in the show notes. And it just leaves me to say thank you for Nick for sparing his time, bringing all the conversation to the table. You've done a fabulous job.
Very welcome. Thanks all.
And I hope you enjoyed the podcast. Goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye. Do you want an end of talk sync on the recording as well?
Yeah, a minute, and final round.
Oh, we both stopped at the same time, didn't we? That was why it was synced really well.
I got. Sorry, I'm just taking my turn on. Oh, we're going to put it. Just trying to get still a couple more points on Ticket to Ride. Stick them in there. I think I've lost this. Anyway, right. And.
So that was my whirlwind list of games.
Sorry, Nick. I just had a heart attack. I thought I wasn't recording. I couldn't find the screen. I was like, where's it? And I realised I minimised it down onto the dashboard. I was like, oh,
yeah.
But it's still recording, thankfully.
Ah, phew.